series that we've been going through together since the first of the year about the Lord's Prayer. Thank you for those that are doing our children's church ministry. What a powerful, wonderful thing that is. Amen. It's important, and we're so thankful for all your help in reaching our children with the gospel. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. I realize it's only a portion of the prayer, but I want to focus on it. We're going to zoom in on it. We're going to highlight and really grasp an important detail within our prayer, the model prayer that we should have in our hearts at all times. It says, forgive us our debts. I'm reading from the NIV. As we also have forgiven our debtors. You might have the word trespasses in your translation, and that's fine. They are all good, referring to that obvious reality that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Amen? And so we need to find forgiveness. And here in our prayer, that is the model prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray from, is to understand that we should have a forgiveness aspect to our prayers. And we want to highlight and understand it better. So let's pray as we prepare our hearts. Lord God, thank you for teaching us how to pray. You know, it's not about memorization. We've gone over this. We've broken that down to understand better what you're trying to show us on this passage. We're thankful that we can understand better what our heart should be as we approach your throne room, that we should obviously and always begin with honor, that we should look to you as our Father in heaven and give you the honor that you are due. We talked about the fear of the Lord just recently in class, and that concept of awesome respect and awe for you is part of all of that's involved. We're thankful, Lord, that as we honor you, we can also look to your will and understand that it takes great faith to pray that your will is done. Oftentimes we've been misled to believe that if we simply pray a certain way and ask for what we want, that somehow we are showing faith. And Lord, I think it's been abused. We need to pray with a priority of first seeking your will. Thank you for that reminder as you taught us to pray. We're thankful, Lord, that as we consider the daily bread aspect, you don't give us everything all at once, but we should be dependent each day. So as we come to you and as we honor, we look for your will, we ask for your provisions, we understand that we need to do this daily. Once again, we pray, give us today our daily bread. And now we consider the forgiveness aspect. And I pray, Lord, that as we open our hearts to your truth, that we will be pliable in your hands, that we will learn and we will act to make this part of prayer a reality for all of our hearts today. We ask your blessing, your guidance. Help me to say your words, Lord, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Forgiveness. As you see in the title, it says, as we also have forgiven. The way that it is worded is profound. When we look at this prayer, we understand the concept of forgiveness. And you probably look at that phrase with a different angle than I do. I want to talk just a little bit about forgiveness for a moment. To withhold forgiveness, and I've mentioned this not too many months ago, we kind of got slammed with a lesson on forgiveness recently. Remember that? And I was like, Lord, why are we bringing this one back? It's like, come on, let's get over it and move on, right? But for some reason, this is the way the Lord leads. And so here we are today talking about forgiveness. And I said this before, to withhold forgiveness from somebody is like drinking poison with the hopes of hurting that same person. Forgiveness to somebody is not for their benefit as much as it is for yours. The world doesn't get that. They love vengeance. They like revenge. They like to get back. They like to take what's theirs. And God says, let it go. Stop that. Quit wanting that person to hurt the way you hurt. Yeah, they were wrong. Yes, they mistreated you. Yes, they were sinful even. We can go all out and say how horrible and terrible they are and how the mistreatment was done. But God says, forgive them. In other words, you need to let go and realize that your desire to see them hurt is wrong and it's sinful. Matter of fact, the unforgiving spirit that you hold hurts you far more than they'll ever hurt. Most of the time, people that have not been forgiven by somebody don't even realize they needed to be forgiven. So when I say to forgive someone, I'm not telling you go to them and tell them how they hurt you and how you must, that you are going to forgive them now for their terribleness. That's not necessarily the right thing to do. You need to forgive from your heart, from your spirit. It may be something that must be addressed. It may not be addressed. You never know. It's the Lord's leading that will guide you there. But sometimes we tell somebody about how hurtful they've been, and they're like totally clueless. They're like, what? I didn't even realize. And it's like suddenly you're like, wow, I've been holding this back for 10 years, and you didn't even know. Then you got to deal with a whole new forgiving aspect. How could you not know, right? You deal with all that. Excuse me, I'm getting over my cold. I'm much better, but I'm not perfect yet, not 100%. We've addressed the importance of forgiveness in recent months, and yet here we are coming back to this important aspect of forgiveness being a part of our daily prayers. It's not a one-time thing, in other words. We should have a continual understanding of the forgiving spirit. Forgiveness is grace. Grace is a good word. Forgiveness is mercy. Mercy is another good word. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Isn't that great? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. I'm thankful for God's mercy in my life because I know what I deserve. And He's not going to do it because of the forgiveness. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. See how they work together? Grace is getting something you shouldn't get, but you get it anyway. Why? Because of forgiveness. And that's what God's asking for you to give to someone else. And the bottom line, the challenge is this: forgive so you can be forgiven. I want to target and focus on the second portion of that phrase about forgiveness. I'm not going to talk about very much, if not at all, the part that says, forgive us our debts. Okay, I'm not going to address that to a high level or a high degree. What I am going to address is the next part of that phrase, as we also have forgiven our debtors. As we also have forgiven our debtors. In other words, when you pray the way the Lord Jesus taught you to pray, you already stand in a position of having forgiven those who wronged you. I want to say that again. It's so important. When you pray according to the Lord's own challenge to us, here is how you ought to pray. You already stand in a position of having forgiven. You're not asking God to help you forgive them. You're past that when you pray this prayer. When you use this model for your daily routine of honor to the Lord in prayer, we often look at that first phrase as the most important in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debtors, or forgive us our debts, Lord. And I say this, God is not looking at that as the highest priority. He is looking at your forgiving spirit towards others as the highest priority. Where's your heart today? Have you forgiven? We often look at what we want out of the prayer. God is looking at what we have given in our prayer. How many of you are kind of like, whoa, that's That's serious business right there. Jesus is teaching us what we should be, how we should live, and how we should pray. We get honor. I love the Lord. I honor you, God. I even get the will of God. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I live like? How should I follow you better? What's your will for my life, Lord? And we kind of get that. We understand the daily provision. Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Would you provide for me today? And then tomorrow I'll pray again. Give us today our daily bread. But we get to this part, and it's like, Lord, I've already forgiven. Please forgive me. How many times have we not quite dealt with it? And we're asking God forgiveness, and we haven't forgiven anybody. We're still holding the grudge. We're still holding on to the hurt. And we're thinking we're going okay. Everything's just fine. And God's saying, wait a minute. You can't pray this way without having forgiven first. That's pretty serious. Every single one of us have had to forgive people for hurts. Every single one of us have justifiable reason to withhold it. And God says, no. You've given up that right. You've given that up. You laid it at the feet of Jesus at the cross when you asked him into your heart. And now we come to him in prayer and we have a spirit of forgiveness. Lord, forgive me as I have already forgiven my debtors. Wow. What a sobering thought and an awesome place to begin. If you believe your prayers will be heard while harboring unforgiveness in your spirit, you are sadly mistaken. I hope the cough drop doesn't bother you guys too much. You ever hear about the pastor that always used a cough drop when he preached? Yeah, it was kind of his routine. He would put a cough drop in, and when the cough drop was gone, he knew he had to quit preaching. It's a good method until one day when he put his hand in his pocket and he popped a cough drop in. Somehow he managed to pull that button out of the pocket from his suit pants. And he put a button in his mouth, and after 2 hours of preaching, he realized this cough drop ain't getting any smaller. I don't know if that's a true story, but it's funny. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We're there already. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. It's following up the prayer. The prayer's ended. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil one. We're going to get to that next time, right? But verse 14 picks up and it gives an explanation of something within that prayer. What does it want to talk about? What does Jesus want to highlight? He wants to highlight forgiveness because it's a big deal. It says here, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Hallelujah. But we know what the flip side of that coin says, don't we? Well, let's look at verse 15 and see. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch! Come on, Lord, that's not fair. I mean, I'm not that bad a person. They're terrible. Look what they did to me, right? We're so good at pointing fingers, not realizing there's three pointing right back at us. God says, forgive them, or I won't forgive you. I don't know about you, but I kind of sit up and I take notice of that. When the Word of God tells me that my forgiveness depends on my spirit of forgiveness to others, I want to make sure I'm doing this right. Because I want to go to heaven. That happens to be where the Father is. And I want to see Jesus face to face. And if I hold back forgiveness from somebody else because they hurt me 5 years ago, 2 days ago, 110 years ago, it doesn't matter. God's telling me I can't be forgiven. How far do we want to go with this? Do we go so far as to say you can't even be born again? Honestly, that's a pretty big discussion. Here's my rule of thumb that I'm going to go by. I'm not messing with it. I don't want to mess with that one. You may want to make the debate and the discussion, well, I think God's grace will overcome that because you're not perfect and you're still a sinner needing a Savior. And of course, God sees your heart and you will still make it into heaven, but you're going to be like that guy that barely makes it. You know, he doesn't have all the rewards. He just barely gets through the fire. You know, that's, well, maybe you're right. But do you want to take that chance? I don't want to mess with it. So I want to say, Lord, forgive. I want to forgive. Wow, that's tough. This next part is awesome. Look to Luke. You're going to like this. Luke chapter 17. This is kind of my signature verse for the day. You're going to like it. Luke 17, verse 3 through 5. We'll start there. Then we're going to move down to 9 and 10. Luke 17, verse 3 through 5, it says, so watch yourselves. In other words, you're supposed to inspect yourself here. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Well, that sounds easy enough, right? Verse 4. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, slap him. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't say slap him. We all wish it did, right? Come on, be honest. I mean, after the seventh time, I mean, the guy just needs a good slap. Stop that. No, he says, forgive him. Seven times in the day, doing the same thing, your brother comes back, I did it again. I forgive you. Oh, thank you. Ooh, that was the fourth time, right? I did it again. Would you please forgive me? I forgive you. Okay, thanks. That's five. Seriously, we're going to do this seven times? Seven times. Jesus says, forgive him the seventh time. Wow. Verse 5. You're going to love it. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, you're supposed to get really excited at that. Because I get it. I know me. Me don't want to forgive seven times in a day. I'm sorry, that's bad language, right? Bad literature or what's the words? Grammar, thank you. But I'm serious. I don't want to do it seven times. I do want to slap that guy. I'm sorry, that's my nature. Seriously, you're gonna come back seven times in one day and you're going to ask me to forgive you for the same thing that you did? I'm sorry, you don't need forgiveness from me. And God says, you must forgive. So I say to God, I need more faith. Increase my faith, Lord, because I can't do this. I really want to smack him. I really do. And God says, okay. And you will forgive the seventh time. Not because of your greatness, but because of his greatness. The disciples got it. They understand seven times in a day is impossible, Jesus. We can't do that. Please help us out. We need more faith. Increase our faith. And I say it again, and I say it with sincerity. Lord, please forgive me because I'm weak here. I need more faith. Let's read on. He goes into a discussion about mustard seed faith. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. He would say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down and eat. Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink after what you may eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Verse 9 and 10. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? Well, the obvious rhetorical answer to the question, well, it's a rhetorical question, but there is an answer. Of course not. Verse 10 says so. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. Where does this whole discussion come from? This idea of taking a tree and uprooting it by your very words and throwing it into the sea. It comes from the discussion of forgiving somebody because you can't quite do it on your own. You say, Lord, I need more faith. Increase my faith. He says, you can forgive the seventh time. You can have a forgiving spirit every time you pray because God can do it through you. And you can see miraculous things happen. But don't expect a pat on the back from Jesus over this one. You're only doing your duty. Come on. We have this tendency to think, oh, look how good I am. I forgave. Look how wonderful a Christian I am. People have said things, and it's water off a duck's back. Is that just a North Dakota saying, or is that going Montana too? All right, good. Don't get so high and mighty. All you are is an unworthy servant just doing your job. So you forgave. Good. Keep on. It's who you are. It should be natural. It should be part of your identity. Look with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Isn't this great stuff? Sometimes my toes get kind of sore. You know, my boots get a little tight from all the stepping I do, right? It's like, really, Lord? Come on, can you give us a break? Maybe next week. Matthew 18, verse 21. We had this already. We talked about it, but let's highlight it again. Peter came to Jesus, asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Gee, does that sound familiar? How many times in a day? Seven times in a day, right? That's what Jesus says. And they all, Lord, we need more faith. Help. Give us more faith. Increase our faith. Well, Peter, being the man that he is feeling pretty good. And he's really, really stepping it up. And he's asking the question, how many times should I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Or, if you will, 70 times seven. We have a discussion translation-wise which one is correct. It really doesn't matter. In other words, you keep forgiving. You never stop. Never ending. This is how you should pray. Forgive us our debts, as we have already forgiven our debtors. You want the Lord to hear your prayers? Have a spirit of forgiveness. You know, I've heard of this illustration. I honestly don't know for sure if it really happened, but I was told it really did. You know, Doug, you know, our good friend here, has a business, a job, dealing with people that have passed away. And a pastor in another church actually had a similar situation. And I don't know how he pulled it off, but he asked if he could borrow a body. Everybody go, ooh. It's okay to kind of get creeped out over this, okay? I can't think of all the liability issues that they must have had if this really is a true story. But the mortician actually had a John Doe, so he brought him. And during the service, the pastor had the casket in the front. And somebody come, I mean, everybody come thinking, I didn't know this was a funeral today. It wasn't a funeral. And this is the way the story goes. As this person is lying here with an open casket, the pastor began calling him names. He didn't cuss and swear, but he was pretty brutal. And after he basically totally trashed the guy, everybody was very uncomfortable. Get it, right? But, I mean, horrible. He went to somebody in the group, someone that's sitting towards the front, and asked them, Aaron, was he offended? And the answer that came back was, well, no, he's dead. He asked somebody else, and they said the same thing. After three people or so asking if this person up here who was dead, was offended. Everybody agreed. No, he can't be offended. He's dead. And he said, so should you be in this world which we live. You can't offend a dead person. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I am dead. And therefore, when I pray, I can pray with a spirit of forgiveness, because you cannot offend a dead man. And so you can be mean, you can be harmful, you can be crude and rude with your words, and you can say things, you can physically hurt me, but I can walk away from that situation with a forgiving spirit, because Kevin Peterson died at the cross. And it is Christ who lives within me, and I can literally walk with a forgiving spirit, not because of my ability, but because I'm dead. And so are you. Now, I would never use the illustration literally the way that pastor did. I couldn't. I can see Lowell Lundstrom doing that. We used to call him Uncle Lowell, and he's with the Lord now. Bless his soul, right? I can see him pulling that one off. I can't do it. But I can give you the picture. And I can challenge you that you are to be dead in such a way that you are unoffendable. And you're able to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it's not a burden. It's a freeing, wonderful thing to not hold that grudge. And you can answer the question, how many times should I forgive? And you can say 70 times 7, 77. It doesn't matter. I always forgive. It's my spirit to always forgive. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. A whole illustration that's given there about the dollars. Millions of dollars of forgiveness if we were to look at 23 through verse 35. A man that owes millions is forgiven by the one that he owed. He turns around and he will not forgive somebody for pennies. You know the parable. If you want, while I'm talking, you can read through it. The judgment came down on that man who had been forgiven millions because he put a man in jail or in prison because of just dollars or pennies in comparison. And the illustration that is given is for all of us to understand that we have been forgiven eternity. How can you compare that to taking a hurt feeling from someone that said something nasty? There is no comparison. Millions of dollars versus a few pennies, a few nickels and dimes, maybe a quarter or two. It makes no sense. And yet that's how we feel justified in our world, that we can hold back forgiveness from somebody because they hurt us. And yet look at that of what you've been forgiven from God the Father. There's no comparison. And God says to us through his word in this statement, this is how our Heavenly Father will treat us. If you cannot forgive your brother from your heart, you're in big trouble. We've already seen that. You must forgive in order to find forgiveness. Mark 11, verse 25 says it as well. Let's go there. I'm not just blowing smoke up here, that's for sure. There's many verses that refer to this important aspect of the Christian faith of forgiveness. Verse 25, it says, Mark 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. How should we pray? Jesus taught us how to pray. Forgive us, Lord, yes, as we have already forgiven. Wow. Lastly, let's just highlight these important passages of Scripture. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Forgiveness from God came first. You have already found that forgiveness through Jesus Christ in salvation. That's why you're able to forgive somebody else. Isn't that awesome? Increase our faith. Well, when you're born again, you get that. You find yourself in a position of able to forgive because of what has already happened within. It's sad that so many Christians think they can live after having been born again with an unforgiving spirit. It should never be. Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Good news. If we were to turn to Romans 5, verse 8, we would find out what you already know, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. He loved us enough to come and die for us before we had a chance. Colossians chapter 3, if you're still there, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. It says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Man, it's like everywhere you go, you find this. Forgiveness all through the book, right? Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How was that? He died for you, right? Verse 14, and over all these virtues put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Hallelujah. Let the peace of Christ, verse 15, rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Forgiveness is at the heart of every peaceful relationship you have. In other words, now that you stand forgiven, you must also forgive. And that's the lesson that Jesus tried to teach. It's the lesson that he taught us in how to pray. It's the lesson we hear from the epistles, from the Apostle Paul, from many other writers. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Kind of wraps it up, ties it with a pretty bow. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's interesting, as you consider the Lord's Prayer, it refers to the will of God, desiring the will of God, but you have to look at the whole prayer as one. I break it down for week to week to understand and better grasp, but you must understand that all of it is inclusive as one thing. Honor to the Lord. Desire the will of God. The daily bread understanding that God provides daily, not weekly. You must trust him every day. Take up your cross every day, right? And forgiveness has already been stated. You're already living in a position of forgiving others. All of this comes together, and here we have the statement that if you can no longer conform yourself to this world, but be transformed through the power of God, the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to understand and test and approve God's will. It's all connected. The world says, do it this way, but you say, no, I do it God's way. And it's not something that you feel hindered by. It's not something that becomes a burden. It's actually such a freeing and wonderful thing to experience forgiveness to someone else. It releases you to enjoy all the wonderful blessings of God. Don't live under that burden anymore, but forgive. It's interesting. I had to deal with my own unforgiveness. I didn't realize how deep it was in my spirit. And it wasn't anything terrible. It was just a certain thing about the way I was raised and the way I grew up. My parents loved the Lord and they were good people, but they're not perfect. And I took on some hurt in my heart. And I didn't realize I hadn't forgiven. And in a prayer time, I let it all go. I released it to God. And it's interesting, it wasn't very long after that, dealing with that heart issue in my own spirit that I didn't realize was holding me back. It was one of those things that I think a psychiatrist probably would have brought out that I wasn't even aware of. You know, one of those deep things that you don't know? When I dealt with it, I felt so free. It's like, wow, this is great. I got a call from the person that I had forgiven. And there were tears, and there were regret words, and shame. And I was able to just say with a true sense of love and joy, I've already forgiven. It's already been done. And there was such a relief there. It was a God thing. The person I had forgiven, I didn't feel I needed to tell them because it really was my problem, not theirs. They weren't even aware of it. But for some reason, God in his mercy and his kindness made them aware of it. It wasn't necessary. I mean, we're talking a lot of water under that bridge. But it came back and there was an apologetic expression, I'm sorry. And I cried, and I'm not a crier. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes the person that hurts you is already in the grave, and there's no chance to make that right. But for your sake, you need to forgive. For your sake, in the glory of God within you, to truly have freedom, you need to let that go. So that you can experience the faith that the disciples called for. Increase our faith. To see the will of God happen in your life as he has called you to, you need to have a forgiving spirit. So when you pray, you must stand in a position of forgiveness. As a believer, mercy and grace ought to permeate your very being. You must have a heart that forgives so that you can continue in the forgiveness, which is the mercy and the grace of God. And all of us together with sincerity and reality say, Lord, increase our faith. Would you stand with me as we close?